This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town. Offshore Investments feature.
Well, after a month's break, it's time to go offshore with Mark Weidman, CEO of Unum Capital, who, just to remind you, has built a trading platform for Classic Business. It's www.trade1027.co.za. Evening, Mark. I'm sure you, like me, feel like you should be in shorts, unless you do trade in your shorts. How are you doing?
I used to be in banking many years ago, and since I left them, I don't wear a tie, but I haven't quite got to shorts yet. But I do feel like I should be wearing them, and a bit of slops.
Shorts and slops, you've got to wear them through January, and maybe in February you start getting back into the corporate get-up. Let's remind listeners why we actually go offshore. I'm sure they need very little reminding when you see just how tepid economic growth is in South Africa. But if you look at what we saw on the Aussie last year, we had CPI plus 8%. It wasn't a bad year. Just remind us why we're building this offshore portfolio.
So I think last year might have been the odd one out in the last 5 years. So if you have a look at a standard balance fund, it's probably done 5 or 6% over a five-year period per year. So, I mean, the first thing is that growth has been, as you say, fairly low locally over the last 5 or 6 years. So last year, 8 or 10% is fine, but the US did so much better, and that's the real reason you go overseas. Is just the opportunity set is so much bigger. You need to get out of what is a fairly vulnerable rand, and fine, it's been okay for the last month or so, 3 or 4 weeks, but you know, there are forecasters who are saying it's going to blow out again at some point, so you need to protect yourself against currency. And also, I think you've just had an interview about the structural fragility of this market or this ecosystem. So, you know, hedge yourself a little bit. You can take your money fairly easily offshore. You have a million rand allowance. Use it. That's just the message we want to get across to listeners.
Absolutely. And there is this massive universe of investment opportunities and sectors that are poorly developed in South Africa that are flourishing offshore. And you think biotech and AI and other tech sectors that we just are short of here in the country. So it's not about being anti-South African. It's just about good old common sense and ensuring that you build a nice diversified portfolio. Speaking of which, how is our portfolio looking? Remember, we started with $10,000. We've split that across a variety of accounts. How are we doing?
So fortunately, we're up, but that wasn't very hard in a market that did fairly well overseas last year. So our benchmark was the World Index. That was up about 6-odd% since we started, and we were up around about 10% on our flagship portfolio. So I was quite pleased with that. I would have done better if I just slapped it all into the S&P 500, but who would have known? And I'm not anti-passive, by the way. I like being active and passive. I use ETFs a lot, as you know. But I would have done much better if I just bought the S&P 500 last year, because it really was a sort of momentum-type market last year, and you didn't want to jump in front of that bus. I don't think this year is going to be the same, however, and we'll chat about that later. So our flagship portfolio up 10%. Our little punchy portfolio, where we've got about $3,000 in it, where we trade the sort of more exotic stuff, that was up...
Much better on that.
22%,
yeah.
So I was quite pleased with that, and we have a little bit of fun with that. And then we trade the odd crypto. I have an account there with crypto, which we were up very, very nicely, almost 30%. And then the pullback on Bitcoin and Ethereum almost wiped that for me. So I ended up the year about 6% up. So that was quite disappointing. But that's really just to have a little bit of fun, that one.
Yeah, very difficult.
So I'm quite pleased.
Yeah, very difficult to say at the start of the year. We'll pick who would have picked oil being one of the standout asset classes at this time last year. So, but it does demonstrate, I think, very neatly, Mark, the whole core satellite principle of building portfolios. Have a core, maybe something that's a little bit more passive and low cost, and then as your satellites, have something if you want to actively trade that you can go out and take a punt and really enjoy investing. And that really is where a lot of the enjoyment lies. What worked for our portfolio?
So I think the things that worked was anything that was in the sort of, let's call it bond proxy, that sort of protective big blue chip US type stock, that did well. I mean, if you were in those sort of stocks, and we were in banking stocks last year, we were in IT, NASDAQ had a flyer last year. So those things worked well for us. So anything that sort of had that, a US IT flavor, you did a lot. You did very well. You also did very well if you were in gold last year. You actually, and we did have gold a couple of times in the portfolio. And as you say, if you held gold into that little bang that we had last week or so, you did exceptionally well. And I must tell you an anecdotal little funny story. I actually left a trade on accidentally and caught that last Monday purely by chance. And there's no skill in that. There is, you can never, sometimes you just get lucky. It's not skill.
Well, that's very courageous of you to share that little story. Sometimes you just leave the position open. What didn't work?
So what didn't work was, you know, we tried to chase volatility. I thought the VIX was very, and the VIX is a measure of volatility in the States. I thought the VIX was very cheap, and I tried to buy volatility a few times. Didn't work. Chased after some small caps. You know, we had the Russell, and when I said it didn't work, we had the Russell 2000 in our portfolio for the entire period, and the Russell did 20% for the year, which is brilliant, but underperformed by 10%. So that didn't work. And then anything that had a value, you know, that if you tried to chase value instead of growth, just, I mean, there was that sectoral rotation towards the latter part of the year when it looked like traders were moving out of growth and momentum into value, but it just didn't happen. So we did have a little punt on value, and that didn't work for us. So a couple of things worked, a couple of things. And I think that's the joy of doing this with the listeners, is that we learn from these things.
Absolutely. And it's also that time of year when your email inbox is crammed full of 2020 forecasts. What has caught your eye on this front?
So I've got a couple, and I love this, and they do. There's a lot of them. Bloomberg always does a great one, and it's the 50 stocks for 2020, and they've done this for as long as I remember. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put up the last 5 years up onto the website and have a little bit of analysis on it, and then we can chat about it next week. But, you know, Bloomberg have come out for their 50 stocks to watch for 2020, and there's a couple of names that listeners will recognize. So Netflix is in there, Beyond Meat, and we're going to chat about Beyond Meat again just now, because Beyond Meat is just taking off. Johnson & Johnson is strangely in there, and Kraft Heinz and Facebook. So there are names in that list of 50 that listeners will know, and then they can put them in their portfolio. So that I'm going to put that list up. I'm going to kind of have a look at how well that list has done. The second one that hit my email box, which I thought was very good, was that Bloomberg put out a very short little snippet from pretty much every major asset manager in the U.S. So whether it is UBS, BlackRock, you know, JP Morgan, they put out a summary of everyone's view, and I'm going to put that up on the website. There's just too many to cover. But pretty much all of them are fairly bullish.
Yeah.
They're still saying stick with equities. There might be a little precipice, but, you know, hang
in there.
That's
the theme. Absolutely, that's the theme. So get on down to trade1027.co.za if you want all of that extra information. Great value there. Beyond Meat, talk to me about that. It's up around 50-odd% in the last five trading sessions, and you put a buyout on the stock last year, but you took profit a little early on that one.
I know, and you'll recall, Beyond Meat, you'll remember, we looked at this thing, and it came out, it IPO'd, it just went crazy, and it was up sort of 200-300%, it was just ridiculous. And then it pulled all the way back below its IPO price, and that's why I said, if I can buy anything below their IPO price, I'll take it. And we got it a substantial discount to its IPO. And then I made a nice little profit, and I went, oh, okay, I'll take it. And the last 5 days have proven that I should have stuck with it, because, as you say, up 52% in the last five trading sessions and up 10% again today.
Yeah.
And I'm kicking myself. So, you know, this is what happens when you kind of put out a report saying that you're going to go into China and sell non-meat to Chinese. Suddenly your stock starts running again.
And imagine what impact that might have in other countries with a billion plus people. There is, unfortunately, no more time, Mark, to discuss the big bank numbers. We did chat about that in the market commentary a little bit earlier on, but so far so good for the big banks in the US as well. Mark Wertman, CEO of Unum Capital, who's built a trading platform for Classic Business listeners, so you can go and trade at trade1027.co.za.